Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
All right, we are back on the Investor Coaching Show. I'm Paul Winkler. PaulWinkler.com is the website, and there are all kinds of stuff on that website, including the new tax workshop that you can check out there. We got a lot of really nice comments. Thank you, folks, who tuned into that. Now, you can check it out as well. We walk through a lot of the things that you ought to be aware of in retirement regarding taxes. Now, maybe that. It may be that you're wondering a little bit about Social Security. How does Social Security work? Well, if you tool down through the webinars tab on the website, paulwinkler.com, you will see a workshop on Social Security. Yes, you may miss the steak dinner and not get fed while learning stuff that may be right or wrong about Social Security. I have no clue. Because I don't sit through those workshops. I couldn't bear to do that. Ira has.
Well, all right, so
or Medicare.
No, I actually did those workshops 20 years ago. I actually did that. Spent $5,000 for dinners.
Did you with Social Security workshops?
I did all kind of workshops.
Did you really?
I spent the $5,000 for dinner, but it worked. It worked because, there was usually $200,000-$400,000 worth of annuity business at 7 or 8%. So you figure out if I did $300,000 at 8%, that's $24,000.
So you pay that for many times over.
Yeah. So who cares if I fed some people some dinner?
People that got fed the dinner and ended up.
Well, what was really crazy was, I took my wife to one about a year or so ago. I wanted to see how they're doing them. Uh-huh. It was the same thing. You go in, you sit down, they educate you first, or tease you enough to try to get you to sign.
Was the education like reasonably?
Yeah,
okay?
It was stuff that you could just read in the newspaper.
Okay.
You can Google it and find out.
All right.
But what was interesting was that we were sitting at a table with another couple, and the lady, as soon as the food came out, said, "I want it to go box."
Doggy pie.
and she stole the silverware. She stole the flour on the table. And my wife turned to me and she says, "You're not doing these workshops. You're not doing these." I'm like, "No, I have no intention of doing them. But I just want to see if they're still doing the same exact thing." And nothing has changed. And there were probably about 3 or 4 people that did fill out the card and turned it into the speaker or his assistant.
I mean, I'd be so tempted. I'm going to save you. Don't do it.
I was Drop very tempted to do that.
Drop the pen. I know. It's hard. So anyway, speaking of things that you get in the mail, you get mailers for these types of dinners, right? I got one this week that opened my eyes. Look at this thing. Look at it. You see that?
Uh-huh.
It is basically it described this for the people listening.
Okay, it's a QR code. Let's find out how worth it you are.
Yeah, it'd be a big, big card with nothing but a stamp on the back and a QR code on the other side.
Okay. So I would never send that out, and I would never, ever.
No, don't do that, Nick. He's like acting like he's going to do his QR reader. Don't do it.
I would not do that.
No.
Because there are so many scams going on. And
exactly.
Actually, warnings right now telling you be very, very careful of where you scan a QR code. Mm-hmm. Because there are people that are going around into parking lots and putting a fake QR code over the real QR code to actually pay for your parking. Mm-hmm. And as a result, they're actually getting on your phone and stealing data.
Yeah, they could steal your personal information.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm very hesitant about that.
Well, that was the point I wanted to make. Exactly that. If you go to the Federal Trade Commission, they have a really good article. But, scammers hide harmful links in QR codes to steal your information. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, they send this through the mail. I don't know if anybody's ever checked it out to see what you're going to, but I thought, how many people are going to scan that thing to see what it is just out of curiosity? My wife's like, "Don't scan that thing." And I'm like, No, I'm not going to scan it. Don't worry.
But you did feel the temptation.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, who would not? I mean, it's like watching an accident as you're driving by. You just got to look.
You know, so speaking about temptations, mm-hmm. One of the reasons why I, as a professional money manager, to manage my money, is that knowing what...
You say this, and you are the advisor on it, you know, so, but the reality of it is you don't do the day-to-day trades. Just right. Be clear about that with people. Okay.
Well, I wanted you to have something to say. So, no, I don't do the day-to-day management of the money within the investments themselves.
Right.
I oversee my portfolio and watch what's going on in my portfolio for mm-hmm. myself and my clients, but I don't do the rebalancing of my portfolio because I would be very tempted, as mm-hmm. we had talked about in one of the last mm-hmm. segments, knowing that international and small companies have higher rates of return long term.
Right.
And I would be tempted to move the money right now from those areas before we do the rebalancing on mm-hmm. a quarterly basis that we do. Mm-hmm. I'd be very tempted to move more money in or maybe begin to even overweight a little bit in that area of the market and totally throw off the risk return.
Wait till you check out
analysis
the next hour, where I'm going to get into that in a big way. Really interesting stuff in that way. So that's funny that you said that. You just teed it up.
Well, you know, we were talking about temptation. So, yeah. Like 40 years I'm in this business as of this month. You know, 40 years. I should be retired, but I love what I do. So,
yeah.
And I know that I don't know what's going to be the next best area to be in. Mm-hmm. So I just keep my portfolio weighted based upon that A word, mm-hmm. algorithm, mm-hmm. that the algorithm says to weight the portfolio based upon how much risk I'm willing to take. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the academics, the ones we've studied under, they'll say, well, you have a risk of losing 27%, but that's offset by the risk of gaining 43%. It's funny how the academics, not the people in this business, talk about the risk of it going up. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. I mean, that's a really good point. It's people think of risk in only one direction.
I'm going to lose money.
That it could go down.
Right.
And, you know, the reality of it is risk cuts both ways.
Correct.
And you bring up the academics, but you talk about, you know, the fact that when you look at the information about how easy it is to lose money through stock picking, through market timing, using past performance, how often these same academics fall prey to it themselves.
So I think in many ways...
And why? Because they're human.
So I think in many ways we tend, you know, and maybe because of, you know, our faith and all, and what just recently happened over the last 3-4 years with COVID. Mm-hmm. And, you know, trust the science. And right now that trust the science has become a really bad thing.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, you know, because we don't want to be taking shots and boosters and all that stuff. And sometimes I wonder, should we not be talking about, look, we're applying the science of investing. We're applying Nobel Prize winning academic research.
It's non-politically driven science.
I understand that. But I wonder how many people...
I just say that out loud.
I wonder how many people might get a little turned off when we say, you know, come in for a free analysis or a free, you know, interview or whatever.
You know, complimentary and free mean two different things to regulators.
Oh, I know that. But, you know, at the same time, you know...
And we are, like, so adamant about following rules. I just want you to know that.
Well, I was just... You know, it's funny you should say that, because I was going to say that, you know, the regulators say that all of our hosts that talk about what we do have to disclose the fact that they are paid by us.
To do commercials. Which, and you would think, well, you know, people that do heat and air commercials, people that do, you know, foundation repair, that they're paid too, but they don't have to say it. It's just, you know, our industry. But even most people in our industry, go ahead, I know that's where you're
right.
going.
Right. Most people in our industry are not actually following the rules and having the host, you know, the host of the radio shows, when they do a commercial, say, we have to disclose the fact that we're paid for this.
So you're saying that maybe there are other rules that are not being followed?
I would think that. You know.
Of course. Yeah, there was an article about, I don't know if you saw that, there was a thing on Snapchat, Ira. Snapchat feature is feeding teens deepest insecurities. And they were talking about how they get a ranking. You know, how you rank in terms of all your friends. And it's how... you know, how far up, and they do it based on the solar system metaphor. Are you a Mercury, which is, you know, you're the closest to your friend, or are you Uranus or Uranus, or wherever, however they pronounce it these days? It's a bad sign if you're Uranus, because you're way out there. Nobody likes you because you're way out there and they don't communicate with you. And they were talking about this one girl's 15-year-old says, a lot of kids my age are having trouble differentiating best friends on Snapchat from actual best friends in real life. They just can't, you know, because they don't hear from them. And I think, wow, how many kids are leading lives of not quiet desperation, but outright open desperation because of the way we communicate. One of the, probably the number one thing, because you know, one of the things I like to do as a ministry is do counseling. Mm-hmm. One of the number one things I do for people is I tell them, look, get a support network. Get people around you, friends around. Start hanging out with people. You support them, they support you. You get with them. And, you know, the reality is people are just lonely these days. Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. You can watch some of the videos there, and if you're not already a client, you can set up a free initial consultation. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors, and confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one. Advisory services offered through Paul Winkler, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. The opinions voiced and information provided in this material are for general informational purposes only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what investments are appropriate for you, please consult with a financial advisor. Paul Winkler, Inc. does not provide tax or legal advice. Please consult your tax or legal advisor regarding your particular situation.